Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Hallelujah. Well, how many knows that this is healing school, so we get to apply the Word of God that we're hearing on a weekly basis. We get to apply it and do it in this class, and so that's always a good thing, is to learn to do what you are hearing, because the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22, it's the doers of the Word that are blessed in their doing. It's not just hearing the Word, but it's learning to apply what you're hearing and acting on that, believing that word and acting on it. So we have healing scriptures that I will share, and then we'll make a confession after these healing scriptures so we can get that word, what, down into our hearts. It's when the word gets down into our hearts and comes back out of our mouth that it becomes a what? A force field. Hallelujah. A force that can remove obstacles, diseases, sicknesses. Hallelujah. So the first scripture today is Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And here's the confession. Surely Jesus had borne my sicknesses and diseases and carried my pains. He bore them and carried them away. I don't have to bear what he bore for me. I refuse to bear what Jesus bore for me. Satan cannot put on me what Jesus bore for me. By his stripes, I am healed and made whole. Amen. And here's our second scripture for the day. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Here's our confession. Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He carried away my sicknesses and diseases. He bore them away and removed them. Disease is not mine. Healing is mine. I refuse to bear what Jesus bore for me. Satan, you cannot put disease on me. I refuse to accept sickness. I will not tolerate sickness. Sickness and disease are totally whipped in Jesus' name. Next scripture, 1 Peter 2:24, by Jesus strike oh, him. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. By his stripes you were healed. Confession we make together. By Jesus' stripes I was healed. Healing belongs to me. I was healed 2,000 years ago by the stripes Jesus bore. I'm not trying to get healed. I've got healing. Because by his stripes, I was healed. All right, y'all are doing a great job this morning. 1 John 3:8, thy last scripture. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Confession. Sickness is a work of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Sickness has been dissolved, broken up, annulled, undone, and liquidated by Jesus Christ. Jesus put sickness to an end for me. Amen. You believe that? Thank God for that. Father, we thank you right now for your word and that it's true. We believe your word and that it is actively at work in us as we believe it. We thank you for it this morning. Hallelujah. I just want to begin this morning also by sharing about the healing center, the healing school here, because from time to time new people come and we always want to go over the purpose for the healing school and the healing center. And we encourage people all the time to keep coming. It's vitally important that you keep coming and hearing the word of God that you are hearing when it comes to healing school. Very vitally important. Jesus did not say faith comes by having heard. Jesus said faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. You never overhear. You can never hear too much. You need to continue to keep coming and keep hearing. Keep believing as you keep coming. Don't just come one time and think you got it all and leave and then... No, keep coming, keep believing as you're coming what you're hearing. Believe what you're hearing because the Word of God is the, what? The Word of God is all powerful. It takes the place. Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Word made manifest. The Word was made manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And so when you're partaking of the Word, you're partaking of Jesus' very life. His life, the word is life and spirit, and that's going into you, and it's quickening your organs, your cells, your muscles, your bones, your every part of you. It's quickening. It's life-giving, life-sustaining, and life-preserving. So we encourage people to keep coming, keep hearing, and keep believing what you're hearing. A couple of examples. We've had people come into this healing school with stage 4 cancer. Listen to me now. They have come in here with stage 4 cancer. After 6 months to a year, they have left here without cancer. We have had people come in that have been crippled and could not walk. Came in with canes and walking, the little assistant walking mechanisms. Yeah. That help them walk in here that has a little roller on it. They have left without the roller walkers or the canes because they were healed. We have had people that have come in here with strokes and the whole side of their bodies have been affected by the strokes. After sitting under the word and coming consistently, inconsistency lies the power. Let me say that again. Inconsistency lies the power. They kept coming week after week after week. They pressed through a lot of things. It wasn't easy always, but they kept coming. They kept coming. We watched their bodies begin to take on another form, a form that was normal where they were paralyzed. They began to use that side of their body from their arms to their walking. Even some of them came in and their speech was slurred and affected by strokes. They left here. Listen to me now. They have left here after 6 months to a year speaking normal. All because of sitting and coming and hearing the word of God. So we encourage people, keep coming. Keep coming. It's so vitally important. I'll share a testimony that the Holy Ghost just brought up by Brother Hagen, who he's now in heaven. But when he was here, a woman that had been born crippled from birth, who could not walk, showed up in one of his meetings, and she came up to him, and he didn't know who she was or anything, but after one of his services, she came up to him and she says, look, she says, I have both shoes on and they match. And he was like, well, you know, what does this mean? She says, I was born a cripple. She says, I could not walk. And she says, on top of that, she says, I got a hold of your healing tapes and your healing CDs and on faith and healing and the Word of God. And she said, I began to take it in day after day, hearing it over and over for 6 months. She said, day after day, Brother Hagin, she said, I listened to your healing CDs and teachings. She said, it got in me. She said, my foot that was crippled and was turned in, got turned out. Then that leg was shorter than the other, that grew out. And then she said, I was missing a little toe and a little toe grew out. So you think that just coming and sitting under the Word of God week after week, miracles can take place. So I'm trying to stretch your expectancy and your anticipation so you're not thinking little, because the Word of God that you're coming to hear week in and week out is all powerful. It can change, it can create, it can move, it can manifest, it can produce things in your life that we can't, and the doctors can't. Amen. Hallelujah. 6 months, she listened to his tapes, his CDs. Grew a little toe back on her foot. Leg grew out. Her foot that had been turned in and was crippled from birth popped back out and became normal. All because she chose to believe what she was hearing and get it in her heart day after day after day, week after week after week. It's something about hearing the Word of God, believing that Word, taking it to heart. In other words, possessing it, laying hold of it, making it your own. Not somebody else's. I know what they did, Pastor Debbie, and I saw what they did. It's not copying what somebody else did. It's laying hold of that Word for yourself and making it your own, personalizing it for you. That's when it begins to work for you. Hallelujah. Amen. So, there's a lot of great things when it comes to the Word of God, and we should never lessen or not value its worth and all that it means to every one of us, to every believer, every person. The Word of God is so valuable, so precious. It is our lifeline, our everything. Amen? Yeah. So I want to begin talking to you this morning about accepting both. You know, everything that is supernatural isn't always instantaneous. I'm going to say that again. Everything that is supernatural is not always instantaneous. Healing is not always instantaneous. It can be a process or gradual. We have to learn to accept both. Whether it's instantaneous or it's a gradual or a process. Because healing is not always instantaneous, many people, Brother Hagin made this statement, he said, because it is not always, healing is not always instantaneous, many people lose the beginning of their healing because they don't know that it can be gradual or a process. Once you have made a decision in your heart and come to the place where you have decided that I believe I receive my healing, whether it's through coming up in a prayer line, having hands laid on you. Maybe it's praying the prayer of faith, where you pray one time, you ask God, you believe, you receive. The moment you pray, that it's yours then. Or maybe it's the prayer of agreement, where somebody is coming alongside of you and you're both agreeing together, where it has to be two people on earth agreeing that whatever they ask, it shall be done for them. Could be anointing with oil. Could be in the name of Jesus. However, when you come to that place where you have settled it in your heart that you are healed, then we must keep the switch of faith turned on by saying, I believe I have received my healing. I believe the healing power of God is actively at work in me, perfecting a cure and a wholeness. Keeping the switch of faith turned on is you using your own mouth, your voice out loud, saying what you believe is happening in you, not magnifying and talking about the sickness or disease. Because when you begin to talk about that and what it's doing or not doing, you're giving place to that. But once you have come to that place where you are fully persuaded in your heart, you are convinced, you are persuaded, you see it in your heart, in your spirit first, the Word of God will paint a picture on the canvas of your heart. You'll see it here first, and you'll know that you know that you know, no matter what people might say, no matter what the doctors might say or show you, you know according to the Word of God that you believe you have received your healing. And so with your mouth, you keep your faith activated by saying, or keeping that switch of faith turned on by saying, I believe I have received my healing. I believe that healing power is actively at work in me, perfecting a cure and wholeness. These things are very vital. Many times, because people do not receive an instantaneous result, they immediately begin to nullify that healing power that begins to work in them at the moment they believe they receive. But because they didn't get an instantaneous result, they begin to say with their mouth that I don't think this is working, or I don't think I received my healing today, or I don't think I got this. And immediately their words begin to nullify what that healing power begins to do. That's why Brother Hagin said they lose the beginning of their healing. I remember a woman came to me one time, and she had stage 4 cancer, and she was going to the hospital, and they were going to remove tumors out of her body. Well, at that moment, she had 4 different tumors in her body. So she came, she believed, she released her faith, and we laid hands on her, we prayed for her, cursed the cancer, cursed the very root of the cancer, commanded that cancer to die and leave her body, and she believed it, and she went. So it was a couple of weeks, she came back and she said, Pastor Debbie, she says, I went to the doctor and they did a scan and they said every tumor was gone but one. She said, how come that one was still there? I said, keep the switch of faith turned on. Don't stop believing that you received the moment you asked, and that last tumor will disappear also. Hallelujah. But it was helping her because she thought that everything would be instantaneous and everything would be gone. We got to learn to accept both and keep the switch of faith turned on in the middle of it. Whether we see it instantly, feel it instantly, doesn't matter. Keep believing God. Keep thanking Him and praising Him. Keep that switch of faith turned on. And we do that by saying. So we don't want to let our own words nullify that healing power that begins to work in us the moment that what? We believe we receive. We have to see that the moment you release your faith and believe that you receive your healing, at that very moment a death blow has been struck to that very situation, sickness, disease, whatever it might be, a death blow has been struck to it because you have released your faith and believe your God. And it cannot and it will not stay in your body. So you're enforcing Satan's defeat by what Satan has already done, which we spoke about the scripture this morning, 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy, loosen, dissolve, undo, liquidate the works of the devil. His works have already been defeated. It's just you and I have to believe that and enforce that in the earth today. We're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us to believe His word and act on it. I remember Brother Hagin gave another example about a woman who had, she came up in the healing line and she had cancer and was given a death sentence, more or less. And she came up in the healing line. He laid hands on her. And in fact, when they brought her up, her husband had to wheel her up in the wheelchair. And he laid hands on her and he took her back in the wheelchair and she went home. And it didn't look any different in the natural. She didn't feel any different in the natural. For 11 days... after she had had the hands laid on her for 11 days, her and her husband would sit at their table where they would get together to eat and they would praise and thank God for her healing day in, day out. Praise and lift their voices together. Remember, we've been talking about the power of praise, a divine strategy to send praise out ahead of you. How powerful that is. It brings God's strength into your situation. It silences the mouth of the adversary, the enemy. Come on now. She believed, her and her husband, they both believed, even though there were no instantaneous results when Brother Hagin laid hands on her when she came up the healing line. They wheeled her right back to her seat. She sat there till the service was over. They went home. 11 days, they sat at the kitchen table. She praised and thanked God, praised and thanked God. They both did it together. On the 11th day, that morning that she woke up, she noticed there was no pain in her body. No pain. She waited 3 days, took no medication. Still no pain in her body. Waited 3 days after the 11th day. Goes back to the doctors. When the doctor examines her, he says, "We cannot find the cancer. There is no more cancer. You have no cancer." She was cancer free. 11 days. Wonder if she had stopped believing on the 10th day. It wouldn't have worked. The 9th day. The 6th day. She says, "Oh, this ain't working. Look, honey, look how many days have gone by. Look. We cannot allow time to get in the way of our faith when we're trusting and believing God. We serve a God of timelessness. Come on now. He's not moved by time. He's a God of eternity. We should not allow time to move us. What we should allow to move us is our faith and trust in God alone and what He has said. I think about another testimony of a woman who was diagnosed with cancer. She goes to the doctors. They perform a scan and a CT scan on her. In fact, right there in the room, they turn the screen around. They begin to show her. They said, "This is the area we are very concerned about." Well, she was believing God that she was healed. But when they turned the screen and they began to show her, fear began to grip her. And the Holy Ghost rose up in her. He said, "Is what you see greater than what I have said to you?" And she was like, "No, Lord, no. Forgive me, Lord. No, I believe." She opened her mouth. She said, "I believe your word." She said, the moment she said that, all of a sudden a circle of light came on the screen in front of the doctors and her. A circle of light, and it began to close in, close in, close in, close in on that area that the doctors were concerned about that was showing up on that scan. It closed right in until it just became nothing. They re-examined her, and there was no more cancer. We cannot stop believing. Keep the switch of faith turned on. Believe that you receive and use your mouth and say, "I believe I have received my healing. I believe the healing power of God is at work in me, perfecting a cure and wholeness." It's amazing what your words will do when your body hears your voice and it's speaking the same thing because it's agreeing with God and what God has said concerning you. Come on now. Your voice is agreeing with God. It's saying the same thing as God Himself has said about you. And that agreement and you confirming it with your mouth because you believe it in your heart is so powerful. And if we could just lay hold of that and continue to believe that, I'm reminded of another testimony. There was a woman who was totally blind, and she went to a healing evangelist service. And when she did, this man called her out, and she was instantly made whole. She instantly, her eyes were open, and she was able to see clearly everything. So she left the meetings and she went home. She noticed after a few days that her vision was becoming blurry. And then after a few more days, she totally lost her sight. She was totally blind again. She continued to thank and praise God that God had healed her vision. And she hung on to that. And for 3 weeks, 3 weeks went by. She was totally blind. Could not see again now. For 3 weeks, she believed that she was healed. She continued to praise God, thank God day after day after day. And on the third week, all of a sudden she's praising and thanking God and her sight comes right into being again. And from that point on, she never lost it again. We cannot give up. Don't give up when it comes to the eternal word of God. Because that which is eternal can swallow up that which is temporal. Remember, your situation is temporal, meaning subject to change. If you can go from feeling good to feeling bad, you can go from feeling bad back to feeling good. Come on now. Subject to change according to what you believe and say. So whether it's 11 days, whether it's 6 months, whether it's 3 weeks, we're not looking at and for the feeling. We're looking at what does it tell us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3? Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter, finisher of our faith. He's the starter and he's the completer. He's the starter and he's the finisher of your faith. We're looking at and on Jesus, the one who took your place. And it also means looking away from all that will distract you. Woo! How many knows when you go to make a decision that you trust and you believe God that you've received, the enemy will try to throw every distraction your way that he can possibly throw to get you off and looking at the wrong thing. Why? Because if the devil can deceive you, he can defeat you. You got to let him know that he's already defeated, he's already been conquered, and he only wins through bluff and deceit. But that you are more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. He's already declared, Jesus Christ has already declared through his word, that you're the victorious one. The victory has been won for you. Victory is yours. Hallelujah. Victory is mine. Woo! Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind me. Victory today is mine. Yeah, it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, let's look at some examples in the Bible. Let's turn in our Bibles and begin to look at some examples concerning a process or gradual healing. You mean Jesus, Pastor Debbie, had gradual? Yes, he did. He sure did. In fact, the very second miracle that Jesus performed, do you know that it was a gradual healing? Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. How many brought your Bibles today? Woo, glory. That Bible, hallelujah. Thank God for the word. The Bible has your answer. I want you to get stirred up so that you'll go out and invite people. When you're out and about and you see people that need healing and they're sick and they're dealing with situations, get them into the healing school where they can hear the truth and be taught so that they can stand their ground and learn to know what belongs to them and resist the enemy. Hallelujah. But Jesus himself, do you know the very second miracle that Jesus performed, it was a gradual process miracle? It was a healing miracle, but it was gradual. So in John, right here in chapter 4, and we're going to begin looking in verse 46. John chapter 4, verse 46. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. It says, so Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. So that was the first miracle Jesus did, was he turned the water into wine. But it says right here, and there was a certain royal official. I think the King James says the nobleman's son. It was a royal official or a nobleman whose son was lying ill in Capernaum. Verse 47, having heard, woo, having heard that Jesus had come back from Judea into Galilee, having heard, so this nobleman whose son was ill, he had heard that Jesus was what? Acts 10:38. Jesus was going about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. God is not the author of sickness and disease. The devil is the author of sickness and disease. When Adam committed high treason in the Garden of Eden, he sold out to Satan, and Satan was given the legal right and to be here on the earth and bring everything that came with him, and that was sickness and disease, poverty, lack, fear, failure. But Jesus came and redeemed us from that. Hallelujah. So we see right here, having heard, so he had to hear something that produced faith in him. He heard that Jesus was going about healing people. So it says that Jesus came back from Judea into Galilee. He went away to meet him and began to beg him. So this nobleman began to meet Jesus. He found out where he was. He heard about him. He found out where he was. He went up there to meet him, and he began to beg him to come down and cure his son, for he was lying at the point of death. So this was a very critical, serious situation. He was lying at the point of death. So I want you to get this. Very critical, very serious situation. His son could die at any given moment. Verse 48. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and miracles happen, you people never will believe, trust, or have faith at all." What? Jesus is saying to this nobleman, he said, unless you what? See signs and miracles. What is Jesus trying to do here? He's trying to move the people from where they were seeing in order to believe. Jesus was trying to move them from seeing it to believing and taking him at his word. They had been so used to seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. Now Jesus was wanting them to move up higher and begin to take him at his word. Okay? So Jesus was in the place of moving these people from sight, seeing it in order to believe it, to now, you're going to believe my word or you're not going to believe my word. Verse 48, then Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and miracles happen, you people never will believe, trust, have faith at all. Verse 49, the king's officer pleaded with him, sir, do come down at once before my little child is dead. In other words, he wasn't getting it. He wasn't getting what Jesus was trying to tell him. He still was like, just come down. Just come down to where my son is and lay hands on him. Seeing. He said, do come down at once before my little child is dead. Verse 50. Then Jesus answered him, go in peace. Your son will live. And the man put his trust in what Jesus said and started home. What? Jesus, the man put his trust in what Jesus said. Now Jesus is moving him from sight into just taking him at his word. And he spoke something, giving this man an option. Either you can choose to believe what I'm going to say, or he said, go in peace. In other words, don't let the devil steal your peace. Don't let it happen. He says, your son is going to live. Your son will live. And the man put his trust in what Jesus said, and he started home. So this was not instantaneous. Now let's look at this. Verse 51. But even as he was on the road going down, his servants met him, and they reported, saying, your son lives. Hallelujah. This is great news. Because here we go from his son was at the point of death, could die any given moment, to now his servants are meeting him as he's going down the road. And they said, your son lives. And look at this. Verse 52. So he asked them at what time he had begun to get better. Notice that he had begun to get better. A process, gradual. And he had begun to get better. They said, yesterday. So this was like a 2-day trip, a 24-hour turnaround. He had begun to get better. They said, yesterday during the 7th hour at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him. Hallelujah, that was good news. Because obviously his son had a very high, extreme fever. Verse 53, then the father knew that it was at that very hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. Think about that. The moment that man believed the words that Jesus spoke, your son will live. That very moment, his son began to amend and get better and better and better. The fever left him. He kept getting better and better and better until he was totally all right. The moment the man believed, what? A death blow was struck at whatever was affecting his son and trying to kill him. The moment the man believed the words of Jesus, Jesus has left us a whole book of words. Hallelujah. In fact, we confessed them this morning, just some of them. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, by his stripes you are healed. Matthew 8, 17, himself took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. What Jesus bore, you need not have to bear. What he carried, you refuse to carry. He bore it in your place as for once and for all, not continuing over and over and over again. No, it was done. It was finished. It was completed. Verse 53, so then the father knew that it was at that very hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live, and he and his entire household believed. Woo, this affected his whole family. This one noble one who chose to believe the words of Jesus healed his son, and it was a gradual, it was a process healing miracle. And it affected his whole family. Everybody was watching and going to see what was going to happen here. Anybody ever had a lot of family around looking, watching, and just observing, seeing what's going to happen? It says, your son will live and his entire household believed, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on Jesus. That's so powerful. One miracle in that household, and the whole family turns and chooses to believe Jesus. I'm telling you, in the day and the time that we're living in, we need to be ready. Be ready, whether it's your whole neighborhood chooses to believe because of one miracle they hear about you. Come on now, one miracle takes place in your community, in your neighborhood, in your neighbor, in your family, and the whole family comes in because one family member, they see you and how it, your faith rose above the, come on now, we're not to be under the circumstances. Our faith is to rise above the circumstances. We are to control the circumstances, not be controlled by the circumstances. It's not over yet. Look at this. Verse 54, this is the second sign, wonder work, miracle that Jesus performed after he had come out of Judea into Galilee. The second sign of miracle that Jesus performed, and it was a gradual, it was a process healing, a miracle. And we think it's horrible if we don't see instantaneous results. But if we would just continue to keep the switch of faith turned on, saying, I believe I have received my healing. I believe the healing power of God is working in me a cure and wholeness. Those words are so powerful. So powerful. And the devil fights us tooth and toenail. He comes to steal your words. And trying to get you to confess something else with your mouth. This is where we got to be, where it tells us in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. Never should the body of Christ or a believer be ignorant of how the enemy works, operates, what he does, that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he uses deception, deceiving you, trying to get something to appear to be what it really is not, and wanting you to accept it because you feel something or see something. But we have to remember we are more than just a physical body. Your body is a slave to your heart and your soul. It's a follower. It is not a leader. Your heart, your spirit, the inward man is to be the leader. Your body will line up with the leader. Come on now. Come on. When we are strong in our spirits, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmity. The strong spirit of a man or woman will sustain him in their infirmity. And we spend so much money on building this outward man, the physical man, exercising it, building the muscles, keeping ourselves in shape, when we need to spend more time building the inward man and making sure the inward man, the real man, the hidden man of the heart. Peter called him the hidden man of the heart. Paul called it the inward man. That man is strong. Strong because you've been feeding it the proper food. You're feeding the inward man faith food. The inward man needs faith food continually. Not yesterday's manna. Not last week's manna. It needs today's manna, fresh food. What does it tell us in Matthew 4:4? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need fresh manna every single day. And we should be wanting to get that. Look, you'll never walk away from what you choose to invest in. If you're not taking something serious, you'll never invest your time in it. When you get serious about something, then you're going to invest your time in it. If you're just playing around and playing games and half-hearted about it and, oh, well, I don't know, this might matter, this might count, maybe not. No, it don't happen like that. It's for the serious-minded. It's for those that say, I know what God said concerning His Word. It's life, it's health, it's medicine to all my flesh. Therefore, I'm going to take time to take my medicine that has no side effects, no ill effects. I can't overdose on it. I can take as much as I want to. Come on now. And it can only do you good. It can only do you good. And it's free. It's free. It don't cost a thing except you to give your undivided time and attention to it. Are y'all getting this? Yes. Giving your undivided time and attention. That's why the enemy tries to fight us. He's contending for your time. Trying to get you distracted and putting your attention and time in other things that don't mount, won't count, won't make a difference for you spiritually. But when you invest in something that's eternal, the rewards that come from those investing in that which is eternal, it's forever. There are eternal rewards out of that. The Bible says it pays off in this life and the life which is to come. I said it pays off in this life and the life which is to come. Hallelujah. Woo. So even Jesus, the Son of God, the healer, the miracle worker, the second sign He performed was a gradual miracle, healing miracle. Was not instantaneous. Does that help you in here today? Our words are so powerful. Remember, with your words, you choose who will have dominion over you. Your voice is your address into the realm of the spirit and your ticket out of Satan's dominion. The speech center is the dominion center of our lives. What we say out loud on a continual basis because we believe it with our heart does make a difference. You have to, it's just like when you go to the doctor and he says, I'm going to prescribe this for you and it's going to be for 3 weeks and you take it daily at this time. Well, you know, when you do it, what the doctor says, it takes time to get what? To get the medicine in you, for it to get working, for you get any results. Well, how much more when we take the medicine of God's word? If we're willing to give a natural doctor time to allow that medicine to work and get into your system, how much more are we willing, we should be willing to allow this medicine to get into our system and begin to work? Process, gradual. But we need to be ready to accept either or, whether it's instantaneous or gradual, and need to know how to keep that which belongs to you. Keep it. Because the enemy will try to come back with a second round and try to steal it with a counterattack, not if he comes, when he comes. With a counterattack. This is why it's so important that we continue to build our faith, develop our faith, exercise our faith, use our faith continually. We are the people of God. He told us in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. We're to live by faith. This was not an option. This was a command. Let's stand to our feet. If God tells us we can do something, then what? He gives us the means by which we can do it. He would be unjust to tell us to do something and then wouldn't give us what we needed to do it in order to live that way. No. We're very capable of living this life by faith. We're faith children of a faith God, created in His likeness and His image. There is nothing too hard for God. There is nothing impossible to Him. And the Bible says to them who believe, there is no impossibilities to those who believe. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You this morning for Your word, getting it into the heart of each person, the Holy Spirit. As they come to hear on a week in and week out, week in, week out, week after week after week, that word is getting planted, deeply rooted into their hearts, where it becomes a force field out of their mouths, moving obstacles, changing situations, liquidating, loosening, dissolving what the enemy would try. We esteem Your word, Father God, and we're so thankful for it this morning. I plead the blood of Jesus over these ears today. And Holy Spirit, that You bring this word back to their remembrance and let it echo in their hearts over and over and over again. And I thank You for doing it. In the name of Jesus. If there's anybody in here this morning,